I think there's considerable overlap in the syphilis gonorrhea Venn diagram. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Because for these reasons that I want to do my research
prior
to the discussion.
Yeah. Although you probably don't want that in your search history. Although if you did Google gonorrhea syphilis Matt Barnes, that makes it more.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably a million hits on that.
Definitely.
The most controversial Wikipedia article.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Of all time.
Yeah, no, the Matt Barnes STD Twitter, man, freaking is. definitely should exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's true. That is a very scandalous fucking Google search.
We're just gonna be watching a game once, and like he'll be playing, and then the CDC is just gonna haul him off court.
Oh,
it's like, nope, you can't.
You
can't live anymore. You're just too much of a walking disease vector.
That would be great, man. I would love to hear like Ralph and Mike fucking comment while that was happening. It's about. Really managed to not blame Matt Barnes for anything.
Yeah, no. Rush to Matt Barnes' defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, absolutely. Mike in particular, man, I think he would really freaking, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, once I'm assuming Matt Barnes has bought him lunch or something at this point, and so, you know.
You're assuming Matt Barnes has what?
Has bought Mike Smith lunch at this point. So, I think Matt has officially fucking cemented himself.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. That's all you really need for Mike.
I mean, that's kind of like a joke Ralph would make, kind of, you know.
Yes, it is.
But also, just the way freaking Mike Smith talked about Kenyon Martin buying him lunch last year, just the way
it was life changing.
Yeah, it seemed like he really was like, man, fuck it. It seemed like that left an impression.
Well, that was the first time he had eaten a meal with a black person.
I see. Yeah, for sure.
Despite his. Three and a half month career in the NBA?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure he just spent the time just, like, sitting in the table next to Larry Bird in the direction where Larry wasn't looking. Yeah, in the direction where Larry wasn't looking. In a way, like, kind of Larry wouldn't necessarily know he was there. Uh-huh. Mike felt like he was there, but, like, you know, like, in, like, maybe the booth next to the booth. But there's, like, the partition next to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, these guys are tall guys, so maybe, like, you know, the upper half of, like, you know. And I feel like maybe if you see Larry's hair also, like, you might feel like you're closer to Larry if you're close
probably
enough
true.
To that hair. You know
That's
what
probably
I mean?
True.
So, yeah, so maybe that kind of increased Mike's feelings of closeness with Larry.
Yes, there has to be some reason to justify everything he says. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, man.
Well, if we're talking about Matt Barnes's venereal diseases and Mike Smith's love-hate relationship with Larry Bird, which is giving it much more credence than it really deserves. I couldn't even describe, not even love-hate, I don't even know what you would describe it as. Because Larry Bird doesn't feel anything.
Say,
he doesn't
even
remember.
Mild awareness.
There you go.
Mild awareness.
Mild awareness, the Mike Smith story.
Yeah, exactly.
That means you can only be at one place. Which is Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast, Episode 2, Attack of the Dick Bavetta Clones,
nice.
Which I've come around on.
Nice.
This is actually our third attempt at a podcast. We did record one right before the Memphis game, but it just devolved into a semi-legitimate and angry argument over Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still pissed. I'm still pissed about it. And we're gonna try and I'm gonna try and leave that there.
We squashed the beef. We run 106 in Park.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Were we ever freaking? And the crowd took my side. No doubt.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So.
But yeah. So we. It was, and also Sky's voice was so low. It was like Barry White and Dikembe Mutombo. Had made some type of baby that they just injected with more testosterone.
Yeah.
Which is the ultimate compliment I could pay.
Thanks.
I could pay to you, yeah. I want to listen to you before you go to sleep.
Before
I go to sleep and before you go to sleep at night.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad you got the Mutombo influence in my voice. Dikembe definitely, once I heard him speak maybe 11 or so, I just decided that's what I was going to sound like when I was older. You know, the African accent was something that never really came to me, but I have been striving for that depth. of Mutombo for a long time now.
Yeah.
Also, kind of like the situation I like to picture is Dikembe Mutombo and Barry White trying to make a rubber ducky move across the bathtub strictly using their voice, you know, strictly like...
Vibrations.
Emitting vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. Sound waves, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have had very little... I've had very little luck in my bathroom, but I feel like, yeah, one day, fucking that ducky will be flying straight up. I'll be able, like, I'll have my wife will have a spa at home, and we won't even have fucking
the bubbles. Yeah, it'll just exactly. be you talking
with
like saying the Old Testament in the water.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be closer to Dikembe Mutombo at that point, so we'll both Definitely. Be in the bathroom, and I just feel at that point, him and me, you know, even just him. And me just watching, like, doing my thing in the corner. That would be cool.
How many times do you think Dikembe gets asked to be the outgoing voicemail message
wow.
on a machine, right? Because, like, if you're the average NBA fan, if you're just me or you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're beyond average. Mm-hmm. a little bit, considering we talked for 45 minutes about Brian Cook.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That does separate us.
Yeah.
From, yeah, for sure.
But let's say you're just the average... you know, NBA fan, and you see Dikembe, and you know that he's a nice guy. You know his voice.
Yeah.
You see him at, like, where does Dikembe beat? Applebee's?
I don't know. I'm thinking, like, if bookstores still existed, freaking a bookstore, actually, or, like...
You can eat at a bookstore?
Oh, eating-wise.
Oh.
Oh. Ooh,
is
eating.
Dikembe what does really Dikembe later? Eat?
Yeah, man, no, oh, man. yeah.
No, I don't, think, yeah. I didn't say, is Dikembe literate, for the record. I said, literate as in well-read.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he's obviously literate.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he
yeah.
obviously can read. Yeah,
totally.
Oh,
totally.
Jesus.
No worries. It's okay. I think
the NAACP is going to shut this down immediately.
That's true. It did come off a little bit, yeah.
Literate.
Yeah,
there's more than one definition to literate.
I see.
I think.
I didn't.
It's ironic if I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, that would be. That would be exactly that. I don't know. Yeah, I had only one understanding of this word,
boy.
But don't worry. Dikembe won't listen to this. I'm pretty confident. But also, you know, I wonder how common that... Because I feel like asking a celebrity to do your voicemail message, especially now with, like, the iPhone making it so easy to do a voicemail message
yeah.
and record... Like, that's a great question to ask celebrities, but it's only great if they're not getting that from anywhere else.
Yeah.
All the time, you know?
But yeah.
Like, and I don't feel like I've heard other people... I have heard other people say that idea, but other creative thinkers, basically, I've heard share that idea.
You thanks know for the mean? Compliment.
No problem. But, yeah, that would be amazing to have Dikembe on the freaking the voicemail or whatever that would be.
Can you do a Dikembe?
Oh...
Can you do a Dikembe? You gotta get closer. Do a Dikembe doing your voicemail.
Oh, right.
Hello?
I don't know, man. Tough.
Hello, you reached Sky. Leave a message.
Fuck. I wanna hard. Yeah, no, I wanna do some sort of like defensive pun or something. Like what would Dikembe yeah. threaten you with if you didn't fucking leave a message?
Your call has been rejected.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's a little Yoda in there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
A little Yoda in there.
Your call is... Yeah, exactly.
Your call has been rejected.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Call again later.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Freaking something like that. Yeah.
It's good.
Thanks, man. But yeah, no, Dikembe, oh my God, Dikembe voicemail would be tremendous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes. The beginning of a little bit on a sidetrack, but well yeah. worth it because it's about Dikembe. Episode 2 of Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast. We got a lot for you this week. We're going to talk about the week that was a very mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
Very mixed bag.
Very.
Highs yeah. and lows in Clipperland.
Yeah.
We're going to preview the week ahead. I should say we are recording this on Wednesday, November 7th, just a couple hours before. Thiago Splitter goes 15 of 16 from the line.
Absolutely.
And we lose the San Antonio Spurs.
We are about to see a boatload of awkward-looking reverse layups from Thiago Splitter that are just going to rattle home all night long. It's going to be...
Yeah.
I'm somewhat excited about it. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I hate it when we play the Spurs. We'll get to that.
I see.
We'll get to that.
I see.
We're going to preview the work ahead. We're going to introduce a couple new segments, our moment of appreciation. Oh, yeah. Which will be fun. We have an exclusive interview with Vinny Del Negro. You can only hear it here. And then we're going to do a couple other things. Talk about which Clipper body, just from a pure physical and aesthetic standpoint, that we would most like to have. Mm-hmm. Not have in the biblical sense.
I mean... Well, we,
yeah, both ways.
Yeah.
Both ways.
Yeah.
And which... We're going to try to broaden our scope a little bit out from Clipperland, because I think both Sky and I...
spend enough time in Clipperland. And, yeah.
If that's not obvious, yeah.
Exactly.
Take a step back, talk about some broader NBA stories early in the season, as well as discuss which NBA players we would invite to our bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is possibly the toughest question for any Jewish... NBA fan.
Really and truly, I spent a lot of time thinking about it. But man, it's unfortunate for so many Jewish NBA fans, I think, in terms of Jordan Farmer being our saving grace.
Yeah.
That was always like, yeah, exactly. We were just kind of waiting for that for so long. And then for Jordan Farmer, just like, for it not to be someone you obviously wanted to root for,
was somewhat
disappointing. But
baseball, which I'm a fan in, Sky, not so much. Baseball's been much kinder to the Maccabee tribe.
Oh my goodness, Ryan Braun, dude.
Well, yeah, Braun.
Yeah,
yeah, the steroid
thing. Yeah, you know, just a little bit.
But going back before, like, Sandy Koufax is basically the...
That's going back, but yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely Old Testament.
Yeah, but I agree. No, Sandy Koufax, for sure, he did us all a favor. I mean,
If the Old Testament was written today by Jews, especially, like, Jews from Brooklyn or Jews from the West Coast, mostly Jews from the West Coast, it would not be Moses leading the Exodus from Egypt. It would be Sandy Koufax throwing a fastball through the Pharaoh's head.
Oh, man, that would be great.
Yeah, and parting the seas.
Totally.
With a 10-6 curve.
Right. Yeah.
I may be extending this metaphor too far.
Dude, I kind of want to write this story. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we will. We'll have a story time with a bunch of Jewish athletes.
I have the time for that, dude, so yeah, totally. Sure.
All right, let's get... Oh, before I start, too, I want to give a huge shout-out to Osamu on Clipper Nation. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right.
Oh.
We totally blew up Clipper Nation.
Yeah, dude.
Our Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast post has been on fan posts for about 10 years now. We got one comment. We got one comment. Yeah. From Osamu.
We beat the Vegas odds, though. I cleaned up on that one. But Osamu, man. That guy, wow. What an awesome comment that was, too. I didn't know that Dane Blanton was a gold medalist. That's freaking awesome. I had no idea. I was loving Dane Blanton enough already, and it turns out Dane is a gold medalist. Osamu, you are the man. Very, very true. Dane is the man. And, yeah, that was a great moment when I read that. I guess that made me feel good.
It was good. Yeah, this podcast is officially dedicated to you.
Oh man, yeah, no, Osama. So many other things this week have been dedicated to you too. Not all of them have been recorded, but yeah, send me. I don't know if Clips Nation allows for personal messages, but
I feel I don't know if you watched any of the campaign coverage, but I'm pretty sure Obama thanked you in his re-election speech.
Yeah, should have. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, he was in there.
Yeah. That's all
right. Cool. Yeah, it was right after Jill Biden.
That's good. Good to know.
Speaking of, Chris Paul and Obama, very tight.
Really?
Constantly. Yeah, you know that.
I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, yeah, he threw a fundraiser for him in, like, a small dinner. Where, like, Obama was there in Florida with, like, other NBA players.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
I did. Maybe I knew. I feel like I may have heard of it.
Yeah.
But,
he's a big Obama guy.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Cool. And, like, yeah, that was when, like, Obama was talking about Blake needs to get a jump shot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheesh. Yeah. Obama. Sheesh.
which Obama. Which is... Which is why Sky voted for Romney.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No. No, I did it. Jill Stein. Yes. No, freaking, what was I going to say about Obama? Oh, yeah, actually, that just reminded me, though, of the Obama. There was an article once about Obama Shaq said Obama told Rondo that he needed to work on his jumper or something like that. In his book, Shaq says that Obama told Rondo that he needs to work on his jumper.
In, like, a private conversation?
Like, when they went to meet them to get their championships, like, rings or something like that. For some reason, Shaq was there for some Rondo-Obama interaction, and he said Obama commented on Rondo's lack of a jumper and that Rajon was emotionally rocked by that, and like the rest of the season his like he had this like he went in this terrible slump, and he thought Shaq believed that it was because Obama had called him out, which was kind of fun.
That's awesome.
If that actually was so, yeah, I don't know, man. Freaking Obama needs to kind of check himself with these guys. Like, he's a little bit too, you know, like
yeah, that would be like just a minute, like at my job or something, like I get some type of phone call or I see on ESPN that Obama's like, yeah, like, Matt needs to suck at his job less.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The president of the United States.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Like, no, you really need to work on your Excel game, buddy. He's like, oh, whoa, all right.
That's true. That's a great analogy. Yeah. That would definitely, oh, man, no, that would definitely just rub you the wrong way and just leave you fucking
broken.
Yeah, it would leave
broken.
You pretty much broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I feel like also Rondo could have, had he expected some sort of insult and prepared some sort of, like, you know,
oh,
epic,
like,
fucking
comeback.
Yeah, dude. How he could have easily rocked his world, dude.
Yeah,
he could have
yeah.
definitely called him on, I don't know enough about politics, but I feel like Rondo could have definitely called him on something that would be way more, like, effectual than his jump shot. And, like,
yeah, yeah.
Be like, what about that, motherfucker? And then, that would have been great. That'd be great. And then I can see Obama hating Rondo, too. Everybody else seems to, so it would be, you know, it would be good. that would be cool. If Obama then openly hated Rondo after that. That'd be
ooh,
cool.
Like a Rondo-Obama feud?
Rondo-Obama beef is definitely what I'm hoping is
for
coming.
A second term?
Yeah, exactly, dude. That's
your that's biggest expectation for a second term.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, exactly. I'm way more happy about Obama winning now. I was already happy about it, but freaking, yeah, I'm way more happy now knowing that that is way more of a possibility. Although, if Obama would have lost... Yeah, maybe he would have become... All right, so I need Obama to become embittered, which is...
I think that's already
pretty,
happened.
Yeah, totally. All right. This is... Man, wow. Okay. I look forward to a fucking... Yeah, Obama-Rondo. Rondo beef.
Sounds... I picture Rondo, like, right next to, like, Boehner and McConnell at some press conference. And Boehner and McConnell, like, dude... The president is just refusing to compromise. This country doesn't need any more tax hikes on job creators. And then Rondo gets up there and it's just like, yeah, fuck fuck Obama.
Exactly. Dude, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm a job creator.
Yeah.
I've been preserving Paul Pierce's career for the last, for the last 3 years.
Ooh, nice.
That's not true.
No, Paul's still got it.
Yeah, Paul's definitely still got it.
Yeah.
What cabinet position do you think Chris Paul will get in the Obama administration?
That's a good question. I don't know enough about the cabinet to tell
I
you.
I feel like maybe he could create a cabinet position.
Yeah. That is really tough. That is really tough to say, though.
For example, Jamal would obviously be Secretary of Dribbling. On this note, we've talked about this too. Jamal Crawford gives the best sideline interviews. And halftime interviews of all time, because they're so incredibly selfless and thankful of the team.
Yes, yes.
And, like, just well-crafted, like, never a pause in his sentence. He knows
so
immediately
true.
When to pivot for, like, hey, like, you went 7-9, but your rest of the teammates suck. Like, how did you carry the team? Oh, you know, they were setting great picks, and
so
everything I do is because of my teammates.
Yeah.
He is literally better than with the media than Romney was.
Yeah.
I've watched both of them a lot.
Yeah.
Crawford, GOP, if you're looking for your 2016,
yeah.
And you know Crawford votes Republican.
Oh,
he's way
yeah.
too selfish
no,
not to vote Republican.
Yeah, maybe.
For sure.
Maybe.
For
I,
sure.
I wonder. I don't, yeah, that's true. Man, that's a good dude. Yeah, no, he is a master of the freaking interviews. And like you said, yeah, he does thank the team in such a good way that, yeah, man, totally, totally. I can
yeah.
see him. He would be a great fucking... Yeah.
He'd be amazing.
Yeah, he would be a great nominee. Dude.
Yeah.
I like him. No, I mean...
Crawford Rubio, 2016.
Yeah. And there's kind of like a... And there's something, so it might help that he just, like, he's getting interviewed after scoring 30 points, and I'm just like, you're the man, but,
yeah, that may bias things.
Yeah, that definitely might bias things just slightly. But, also, he doesn't seem to have to, like, smile or anything like that to give off an air of niceness, you know what I mean? He can be himself, he doesn't have to force anything, but you're just like, yeah, this guy freaking seems to get it, he says nice things, he seems to respect the interviewer or something, it's like, he gives them their thought. Yeah, Jamal has really grown on us. I just realized in this, like, in me saying that sentence, I'm just like, holy crap, like, I love Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, all Clipper fans at this point in the season.
Yeah, dude, I totally...
I fucking love Jamal.
I'd invite him the shit out of to my bar mitzvah, dude. Oh my god. Ooh. Like, yeah, dude. Oh my god. Absolutely, Jamal with my bar mitzvah.
Ooh.
I must say, actually, a couple years ago, a friend of mine loves the Clippers and loves Jamal Crawford, and we actually asked Jamal Crawford for a photo. And Jamal was so nice about the photo.
Nice.
Yeah, and then another friend of mine actually...
Oh, we should post that.
Yeah, definitely should. Although I had trouble finding it. I feel like it's kind of might be lost in, like, Facebook shuffle or something. Yeah. And also, another friend of mine actually... It was at the Summer League, and another friend of mine asked Marco Bellinelli to take the photo, and he declined. So, yeah. So, Marco Bellinelli, but...
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I probably would have missed anyways, dude. Fucking,
Man. Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah.
Who is he? What team is he on?
He was starting for, like, the Hornets last year.
Yeah, is he still in New Orleans?
I don't know. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he's either going to be on the New Orleans or freaking Ukraine or whatever, something like that. I'm pretty sure so. Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't freaking... Thankfully for the prospects of my life and my lifestyle, I have no idea what the fuck Marco...
It's a good sign.
Yeah, Bellinelli is doing right now. Yeah, totally.
All right, let's talk about the past week.
Okay.
Which started off on a very, very nice note.
Fantabulously. Yeah.
With a defeat of... our playoff rival.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, if you could call them that, because...
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
We're clearly better than them.
Totally, totally. I feel weird having the rival discretion partly because of the way the Lakers would answer the rivalry question when they've been asked about the Clippers as a rival.
Yeah.
And that was just always really annoying when they were talking about, like, championships and shit. It's just like, Jesus Christ, you don't need to tie everything back to, like...
What Kareem
like,
did.
Yeah, exactly. The last 40 years, it's just like, when you play these guys now, do you, like, want to beat them extra? And the answer to that is yes.
Clearly yes.
So
yeah.
There's a bit of a rivalry there. So, maybe there is a bit of a rival.
Yeah, there's a rivalry. Yeah, exactly. I get super amped for the Memphis game.
But it is so wonderful to watch Memphis just play well through three quarters, play okay to start the fourth, and just... inevitably suck balls at the end. It's
beautiful.
Yeah, and
it's
to
beautiful.
Watch, yeah, and to watch the Clippers do the exact opposite is beautiful. And
grit and grind through three and a half quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Fade and faint.
Yes,
for the last 6 minutes.
Fade and faint. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yep.
I like that. I kind of want a shirt that has, like, fucking Tony
Zebo and Tony. Well, yep.
Zebo Tony and Tony Allen, like, passing a blunt to each other, and it just says fade and fade. Like, that'd be tight.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It'd make me want to be a Memphis fan.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, and the Clippers doing inevitably the opposite. It is incredible to watch in this week, the Clippers coming out strong in every fourth quarter. Even the ones they lose, it's so weird to sit there and be like, when are they going to make their move? And then they make their move. This is so much different from the last 20 years of Clippers.
Yeah.
It's insane, you know, and it's even different from the Sam Cassell, like, you know.
Yeah.
But
it is different.
Because it just seems like every game they're going to make it a game.
Yep.
No matter what happens.
Yeah.
It's really, really awesome.
Just to continue our recurring fuck Memphis segment, but we're not gonna get derailed on it like we did the last podcast.
Sounds good. 45 seconds of fuck Memphis.
45. Ooh, that's great. 45 seconds of fuck Memphis.
Yeah. All right. 45 seconds of fuck Memphis.
Okay. Right. We can just kind of recapitulate what we did in the in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
You ready? Okay. Ready. And. Go. You know what Martin Luther King's last words were?
What was that?
Fuck Memphis.
Oh. That was God dang it. Oh man, I don't even know how. That's a hard
Haiti freaking... worse than Memphis.
Haiti way worse than Memphis. Okay, Matt's gonna carry the segment. Go for it.
Syria right now?
Way
worse than Memphis. Oh, there are refugees from Memphis in Damascus.
Yeah, no,
right now.
Dude, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And Syrian food. Way better, dude. Fucking wow.
Yeah, the Syrian barbecue, another barbecue better in Memphis.
Dude,
barbecue.
The hummus in Memphis, dude, is fucking atrocious. Alright. I don't know if they even know what a fucking garbanzo bean is in that motherfucker, but
No.
Terrible.
I don't even think they call them chickpeas.
I don't think they do. Those motherfuckers.
Yep.
Yeah, totally.
All right. That was 45 seconds of fuck Memphis.
Nah, I feel better. I'm glad we did that.
And the ultimate revenge is that we won.
Yeah. Yeah, handedly.
Handedly.
It just looked like they really...
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like they couldn't hang with us.
It was... So I felt... We felt both... We watched that game together. We felt both very good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. After the game. And then, continuing our emotional journey through the week, Saturday... Friday rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
We play our real rival.
Yeah.
On national television.
Yeah.
And kick the shit out of them more than we beat the shit out of them. They look terrible.
Yeah, they look terrible. The Clippers looked just
great.
Actually, I thought they looked just okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Chris and Blake both had subpar games.
Yeah, they looked great because they were kicking the shit out of the Lakers, but I loved watching them play okay and kick the shit out of the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't the best week play.
Yeah, that was a joy to watch. Also, Hubie Brown, I texted you, but I've never preferred Hubie Brown's analysis on the Clippers because it's been negative pretty much always. But
I'm not sure about that.
Really? I mean, maybe just in my experience, but okay. Hubie was loving the Clippers. He was loving their everything. But I finally understood it kind of. I used to judge Hubie and what he was saying as if he was watching the games and as if his observations should match my observations. But I realized that Hubie's actually looking at the stats before he sees the Clippers play. And when he sees that the Clippers are terrible defensive rebounders, even though I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh man, like he's a pretty good rebounder. He tries hard. Hubie has the stats on his side. He hasn't necessarily watched all the games, so when he like just waxes about how these guys don't rebound, these guys don't do that, and before they get to rub me the wrong way, but now I realize there's a reason he's saying that.
Yeah.
It's not about this game that he's watching right now, necessarily.
Yeah.
It's partly about he did the research and is looking at it like the coach, what he would tell his team to exploit about the Clippers
if
he was playing them.
That's true.
So that helped me kind of listen to him a little bit more.
That's true. Yeah, that's definitely true. I find that Hubie is actually typically more effusive of the players' talents than like other announcers. Like when LeBron like goes to the hole and makes a layup over like three dudes, like a good play but not a spectacular play.
Yeah,
like Hubie loses his shit. Hubie's totally. Just like, oh, it's such a massive athletic. Yes,
totally.
Yes,
totally. He has a good exactly. There's a good kind of There's a good scratchiness of his voice also that's just like great to hear. Really get really excited, which is wonderful.
You can tell he loves the game.
Totally.
Like, same with Van Gundy, I feel too. Like they genuinely.
Totally.
Yeah.
I do think that Van Gundy
thinks about it.
Absolutely.
I don't think Tirico wants to be there.
Tirico, well, I read the book about, I told you, I read a book about ESPN and like I just interviewed it was basically a book of interviews of all like the ESPN personalities, either in front of the camera or behind the camera, and Tirico apparently is like a dog in heat in terms of hitting on like every female. He's married and he's just notorious for hitting on every female employee at ESPN apparently, and like just not stopping with hitting on them. So
him and Steve Phillips.
So I think Tirico constantly has something else on his mind, basically. And like I love watching the Monday night football now, and when Tirico throws it down to the sideline reporter back, is because I'm like, there's some weird, you know, when she's like, I
why
feel
is this
like,
dynamic so weird?
Yeah, and I feel like she hates saying thanks, Mike. you know what I mean? Like, you know, so I love thinking about that. But no, Tirico does seem, I don't know, but also I will say this, also, video games have made it different to listen to the commentators.
That's true.
Because video game commentators are so good now that sometimes the commentators sound like the video game.
Yeah.
Because they say the same things the over same and over.
Shit,
and
yeah. Steve Kerr is a good example of that. Yeah.
I see Kevin Harlan even is like somebody. Just maybe it's just because his voice always sounds the same. But it's just like it sounds like a video game sometimes when I listen to him. I like the guy, but it sounds like a video game sometimes.
No.
It's crazy.
So quality win. Which fucking we'll have a whole Lakers Clippers podcast at some point.
Sounds good.
But Kobe is playing well.
Very well.
And that team is 1-3.
Yeah.
And that's not a good. And yes, Nash wasn't there when he played us. Although Bledsoe would have destroyed him.
I don't think that necessarily helped hurt them at this point in the season.
Uh-huh. Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
But if I'm a Laker fan, I'm not incredibly worried, but definitely significantly concerned.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm definitely concerned. I'm not, I mean, they definitely could change everything for
It's only four games.
I don't know, but Kobe playing well is definitely not going to be the barometer for how good they are, because even when they were shitty in those years, Kobe was still going incredibly well.
But they were at least really from scoring. Shitty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Kobe still has that scoring, whatever, but I think if he's not able to score, you know, they say this a million times, he needs to do it within the fucking everything. And just Dwight, Kobe, Nash, and Powell, it just seems like the one ball thing might actually come back to bite them on that.
Yeah.
Deliciously enough. Maybe they should just do like the off the bench for one of those guys. Maybe that's what they need to do.
Kind of like Memphis and Z-Bo. In the second half of last year.
Yeah.
Or Mo with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Mo is like six times the point guard.
Yeah, Harden and his whatever.
Harden.
What the Clippers are doing now with Crawford and Bledsoe and stuff, absolutely.
Or Roni,
dude. Fuck yeah. Roni passing, dude. Gotta love Roni's passing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
No, that's the most shocking thing to me. I had no idea Roni Turiaf could pass. Interiorly or exteriorly.
Yeah, him to Hollins is fucking automatic. I love it. Walton and McHale.
I love it, dude. Oh my god. Yeah, love that. Love that relationship.
So quality win. And then Saturday, back to back, end of a back to back against an inferior opponent.
Mm-hmm.
After two high profile wins against heated rivals.
Totally. An inferior opponent that played us well last year.
That played us all, and pretty much always plays us well.
Yeah.
It's never an easy win against the Warriors. I mean, sometimes.
The only reason I can say, sometimes is because I've gone to one Warriors-Clippers game at the Warriors and came and had a great game and just fucking shit.
Was that the game we went to, the guy?
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
That was a different one. I think they lost that game.
Yeah, I think they lost that game.
In this game, Anthony Randolph was guarding Kamen from the outset, and that was such a mismatch, and I came in there just spewing Kamen just fire. I was wearing the Kamen jersey, screaming to Kamen before the game. People around me are just like, who is this Kamen guy? And then for Kamen to run into that matchup where he could just absolutely kill that guy, and the Clippers just killed him. And so that was probably my most enjoyable, watching experiences. So there was there has been one time, like 2 years ago, where,
nice.
Also, I went to see that game with a friend who knew that I loved Kamen, but never watches basketball, ever.
Ooh.
So going to that and then having Kamen, completely show out for me was incredible.
Justification.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, against Golden State, everybody thought the same thing Admiral Akbar thought. It's a trap!
I love the fucking speech before the game.
Yeah, I think that's... Dude, if I'm Del Negro, I show that clip before the Golden State game.
I'm almost guaranteeing that clip would have been way more effective than
than whatever
Vinny
said.
Pretty much anything Vinny could have said. Yeah, because that would have just had a light heart. That would have... Oh, man, that clip needs to be used more often. Because it's a way to inspire your team in a lighthearted way.
Yes.
You know? Make sure they're taking it serious, but also be like, I know you guys are taking it seriously. You know what I mean? I'm just reminding you in a really playful way. You know what I mean? Like, I got confidence. I know you guys don't need me to tell you this, but check out this clip that will also tell you this. You know, Yeah, awesome, dude. Fucking A. Vinny.
Yeah, get on. So, Vinny, there's this thing called YouTube on this thing called the internet.
Yeah.
Could be used for motivational games against the likes of the Warriors and the Cavs.
Definitely.
Anyway, everyone on Earth yelled, "This is a trap game." Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. It just didn't matter.
Not at all. Not at all.
I knew we were going to lose that game. I knew we were going to lose. Gave up on that game before.
I maintain hope.
Oh, actually, that's not true up there.
Nope, according to Matt's actually preseason prediction, it seems like we were going to win that.
I was very optimistic. Yeah.
But he just had a certain feeling for the moment.
After the Lakers game, I thought we were going to lose the Warriors Lakers game.
I can see that. But no, I mean, yeah, the Warriors. I was just looking forward to the Monday power rankings, and I was really hoping that the Clippers were going to be 3-0 for that first power rankings, and that I just couldn't picture them losing. I wanted to see what Mark Stein had to say about the Clippers after they were 3-0.
Yeah,
for sure.
But unfortunately.
Yep, exactly. Unfortunately, yeah.
Where do you think David Lee fits in the players that hate Blake Griffin pantheon?
Wow, that is a great question.
Is he a top five?
I think he probably is at this point. I mean, gosh, Humphreys,
DeMarcus. Can't do Grant Hill anymore.
No, can't do Grant Hill.
Zebo definitely.
Yeah. Wow.
That guy on New Orleans, but I don't count him.
The guy in New Orleans. Oh, Jason Smith.
Who tried to kill him.
Nah, I don't count him.
Yeah, either. I don't count him either.
Yeah, he's just not. Yeah, no, I definitely don't count him. Andre Miller, maybe that one little weird thing.
Yeah, but again, Andre Miller.
Andre Miller hates everyone.
Hates sunshine.
Yeah.
Happiness.
Yeah. All these things. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, he does. I don't know. I think he's got to be up there.
Yeah, I think he's up there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, he's got to be. But I mean, but Blake is just one of those guys. Blake, I heard somebody say this, and they say this about a lot of players. The players you hate when they're on the other team, love when they're on yours. Because Blake is definitely has some gamesmanship about him. Blake is really trying to get into the other guy's head and be kind of a douche to the other guy.
Yeah.
He's trying to play the officials and stuff for sure. You know, and that just has to be so annoying to anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's smart. It's freaking smart.
Yeah, I think Chris likes it.
That's the
most important thing. If Chris likes it, then it's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh man, Chris loves it. I think they all have a good laugh in the film room afterward when they see Blake like flopping, or it's just like, you motherfucker, you know. I think they love seeing those replays, like of Blake just completely bullshitting. So I think it's good for morale overall.
I tend to agree. So anyway, we lose that game 2-1.
Yeah,
we're still pretty happy because of the games that mattered.
Heck yeah,
we won.
And because the Clippers don't suck anymore.
And because just generally happy.
Yeah.
Still generally happy for that.
Yeah, me too. Then
Monday night.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got my chronology.
No problem.
Monday night.
The Clippers ran into the buzzsaw, the Dan Gilberts, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes.
Yeah, man. No, I feel
Cleveland
good for
Gilberts.
Yeah, exactly. No, I feel good for Dan Gilbert right now. He's like, his team is looking better than he imagined. Kyrie just
LeBron who?
Yeah, I mean, after that game.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah, no, I did enjoy picturing Dan Gilbert watch that game in particular. He must have felt pretty good about the future. Cleveland looked good.
How good do you think Kyrie Irving is going to be? Do you think he'll be the best?
I can't tell.
Compare him to an NBA player,
you know, just
that when he reaches his peak.
I mean, part of me wants to say like Iverson, you know what I mean? But because at the point guard position or as...
He can pass better than Iverson.
He can pass better than Iverson, but can he really balance that? I mean, he only had 18 points through like fucking... I remember there were 3 minutes left in like the third quarter, and I'm like, Kyrie only has 18? Yeah. Holy shit.
And but 12 of that was in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he just torched Chris Paul.
He can pass, and Kyrie Irving made Eric Bledsoe try for the first time this year.
It was amazing. For those who don't watch the games, I'm talking to you, Skip Bayless. Eric Bledsoe, best defensive player on our team, does not try. on defense. Is that, and he's still the best defensive player.
Yeah.
He kind of just, he plays what I like to call this, like, roving safety, where, like, if he's guarding Jared Bayless, he gives him, like, 25 feet of space and kind of runs around and sees if he can pick it from a big guy.
Totally. He just knows he just needs that one moment of access to the ball to capitalize, you know?
Yes.
So and it works. Know, he'll be right. It works beautifully. Yeah, yes. Exactly. I mean, no, and just before the play starts, Eric Bledsoe never looks concerned about what, doesn't look like he's thinking about what this guy's about to do, anything like that. He probably is, don't get me wrong. Eric Bledsoe's mental game is probably a lot more complicated than I realized, you know, especially because he spends so much time with Chris and Chauncey. I feel like, yeah, he's definitely, Eric Bledsoe's being trained to view the game in a different way, I'm sure. But just before, when you see Eric Bledsoe before, he just looks relaxed, like, okay, what is this guy going to try? I'll just go ahead and stop him real quick. But in that Kyrie game, he was finding Kyrie before that ball got inbounded. He was on Kyrie.
In the second half,
Exactly. Yeah. And he was like, holy crap, like, I need to. Because Bledsoe definitely is just not used to anybody being faster than him at all.
Yeah.
And Kyrie is, Kyrie is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And C.J. Miles, Clipper Killer, again strikes. Even though he had a bad game,
Exactly. Bad game, bad haircut, man. But holy shit,
bad haircut,
brutal, brutal. New barber, C.J. Miles. Fucking, you need a new barber. Whatever he's going with, that just was not complimentary to C.J. Miles, whose entire look is already kind of questionable. So C.J. Miles, but yeah, now you knew he was... Honestly, whenever players pull up for that 30-footer to beat the fucking clock, even when Lamar did it against the Lakers, you know...
You know it's going in.
You know it's going in. Those guys, man, they just practice. They practice that shot more than anything, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And,
I think so.
So 30-footers, man, those are, little-known fact.
It was that shot and then the Kyrie 3 in the fourth.
Just absolutely...
It just killed us.
The breaker, that was the breaker. Yeah, man. So, no, I think Kyrie can be real fucking good, though. Real fucking good. I mean, I just don't know. At the point guard position, I think it's really hard to balance scoring and distributing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so can he... And to win a championship, you know, he's going to be judged. He'll either be with the lump if he doesn't win a championship, or he'll be in the fucking apex if he does win a championship. So that's just kind of the way people are judged. And if... Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult for him to win a championship as the guy, I think, just because it's difficult for anybody, but can he share the spotlight, you know? I guess that will define Kyrie's career. Early now, I think he can, but, you know, but can he truly?
Well, I think he'll be most remembered for Uncle Drew. 20-25 years from now.
Maybe. I mean, I do give him credit for rehashing Grandmama in a tasteful way. You know, this is not Dwight Howard Superman while Shaq was Superman, just like the exact same. You know, Uncle Drew is distinct from Grandmama, and just there's something about Kyrie. Yeah, it is perfect. It is perfect for him, I would say.
Yeah, I like Uncle Drew.
I love the Uncle Drew everything. Yeah, so.
For one game, just for like, I guess it would really piss the opposing team off, but just like a team that doesn't give a fuck, like the Wizards, like late in the season, he should just like in the warm-ups come out as Uncle Drew, not in the game, but in the curtailed like pregame dance when they're announcing the starting lineups.
Yeah,
he should come out as Uncle Drew just once. The other team's not gonna like it, but
I like that idea, but I like Dion Waiters coming out as some like second cousin Daryl or something.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I'd like to see Dion Waiters at his game almost more in old man attire look.
Yeah.
You know, and just
Dion Waiters, a possible Clipper Killer of the future.
I'm gonna say Dion Waiters a possible non Clipper Killer of the future.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm going to say he is going to be a Clipper Killer of the future. I'm leaving open the possibility that he's not going to be. Because it's already, in my mind, he's like...
He's already a Clipper Killer.
Yeah, man. It's
just one game.
If Anthony Morrow's a Clipper Killer, that was just one game. It was different. But no, man, he was really hitting shots in a delicious way.
Yeah. Morrow has hurt us not as bad as that one game, but...
Yeah, I mean, in his one game was straight out of the D-League, it was different.
But, yes, it was different.
But no, but that was a pretty... Ridiculous. That was threes in people's faces. That ridiculous. Was not even just wide open ones. A couple wide open ones, but...
Yeah.
He was putting it down, dude. Yeah. Warriors look good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I think he's here to stay, and, yeah. I mean, honestly, the Clipper killers have just been few and... It's a dwindling... Ooh. I really feel like there's a dwindling supply. Yeah, knock on wood for sure. Don't be wrong, there's always going to be Clipper killers, but through the years, like, every team had a Clipper killer, you know what I mean? Every team had a guy who was great, you know, a guy who sucked usually was great, mm-hmm. but, you know, I can... We have a new ship,
647. It's a drop. I'm just saying, be careful.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. I see, totally, yeah, no. Admiral Akbar knows best, generally. I should remember that. For sure. I mean, because his face is tattooed on your forehead. I don't know how I fucking forgot his wise words so fast. But yeah. All right, I'll remember next time.
I got the front part, and then I also got those star tattoos that Lamar has.
You haven't got it colored in yet. I mean, obviously that will.
No. Yeah. That yeah. Will no, I need to do that. Yeah. This magic marker ain't working so well.
The Lamar head tattoos, the most troubling part sign for Lamar.
Yeah.
Gucci Mane got the face tattoo. That's when I started worrying slightly about Gucci Mane. Are you familiar with the Gucci Mane ice cream tattoo on his face?
I am not.
I see. Are you familiar with Gucci Mane?
I do know Gucci Mane. Sorry.
Gucci Mane has an ice cream tattoo on his ice cream cone tattooed on his face. Ooh. When I saw that for the first time, I was like, oh man, Gucci's like just doesn't seem to be. He seems to be maybe entering his own world to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And Lamar with those stars on the back of his head are definitely like, I don't know. I'm curious. I want to hear him explain those. For sure.
Yeah, I'd like to. Well, maybe it's like if he gets a third one, he gets like a free sandwich.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I didn't. You know, they are subtle. I mean,
they are subtle for most, a head tattoo.
Most subtle head tattoo I've seen, Lamar. I must say.
it's very tasteful.
Yeah,
it's very tasteful.
It is. But still, not a troubling sign. A troubling sign.
Yeah, not a good sign.
For Ello.
His body. Oh, I gotta cue that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
His body language, a little bit off the last.
Last
couple games.
His body language off. Even his interviews, he's so about selling himself distant.
Yeah.
You know, and he's bringing up old stuff like number one recruit out of high school. I've been through this. You know, like freaking. Anyway, I just kind of dropped that out of nowhere. But in an interview, he was like explaining how pressure and stuff wasn't new for him, kind of, you know.
He's
like,
you know,
number one recruit out of high school. For one thing, I kind of doubt he was the definitive number one recruit also, because he went to Rhode Island, you know what I mean? Maybe
I think that was for academic shit.
I see. Okay, so maybe he was.
Yeah.
And just the way he was talking about it was really like, I've already proved my shit, and I mean, he
had maybe trying to justify that he's still good to himself.
Yeah, but no, he seems to have a long way to go. He's just not moving like he can. But does seem to be a good team player, at least. Apparently gave books to the whole team. You know that?
Yes, I did. And Chris Paul loved it.
Yeah. I would love to know.
Oh my God.
What books he gave? And
I would love to be part of Lamar's book club.
Yeah. I would love to read those books. I would probably actually hate to read those books. I feel like they must be super corny and super like. But yeah. Also, you know, in all honesty, I find the Clippers to be a pretty corny team in general. You know what I mean? Like, I love them. Don't get me wrong. But the Clippers strike me as a bit corny. The way they talk about each other, the way they whatever. They're just like, they're that family that's like eating at the table next to you guys. That you're just like, you look over and you're just like, you guys seem to like each other a little bit too much or something like that. I don't know. Sometimes it's disconcerting to me the way the Clippers talk about liking each other so much. I'm like, because they have to keep talking about liking each other so much that, like, if ever, yeah, I don't know. There's almost pressure on them to be such good friends.
No, I think, it's the, you're at the Olive Garden, it's a Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be there, none of your family members want to be there.
Yeah.
You talk about how you don't want to be there, mm-hmm. then the Mormon family comes in, it's like seven, no offense to our Mormon fans. The Seventh Heaven family comes in,
mm-hmm.
all blonde and blue-eyed, and there's like five, there's like three girls and three guys, and they're all the same size, and they're all like, oh, sis, can I pour your pop for you? No one looks unhappy.
Yeah, totally. They never
but
they, seem
you
to
know
be
there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, they never you seem to be out of breadsticks. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
They never seem to be fucking out of breadsticks. There's always extra breadsticks on that table.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. You know that, you do know there's something wrong with that, so...
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so a little bit of a pessimistic view, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd rather have the Clippers liking each other than not liking each other, for sure. But I do hope.
Yes.
But I do hope there's there probably is. I do hope there's enough.
I think there's enough real shit between.
Yeah, enough real shit.
Between Lamar, Jamal Crawford, Blake, and DeAndre. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough, like, real shit there.
And, I think
they're all... And Bledsoe, you know, doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, totally. Oh, man. I would love to hear, like, Bledsoe's critiques. I feel like Bledsoe particularly doesn't give a fuck, because Bledsoe critiques the other players when he on the other team when he's getting, like, you know, like, he's such, like, what happened today? He's like, they just missed shots, you know what I mean?
It's kind of... he's got a little bit of Rondo in him,
He does have a little bit of a Rondo in him. Nice. I've got a doubt with that,
I'm so down with Bledsoe.
Yeah, Bledsoe's pretty cool. You're right.
Riding Eric Bledsoe's dick since 2000... I'm going to get a shirt.
Yeah, right.
Since 2010, 2011.
Dude, those would sell great at the Staples Center TBLA store, dude. Honestly. Bledsoe's secretly the most likable Clipper. I will say that. Secretly.
Why? You're coming around so much.
I'm not coming around. I'm saying, I am coming around.
I know what you're going to say. The most likable Clipper, but you don't think he's as good as everybody on Clips Nation makes him out to be.
I'm saying Bledsoe is surprisingly the guy that most Clipper fans will watch and say, man, like, I really like this Bledsoe guy. Nobody's really talking about him. Do you know what I mean? But he's... Freaking, he's awesome. He's quick. He's awesome. He has an awesome disposition. He just seems like the cool kid at school, and just bubbling with potential. You know what I mean? And that just very few players excite you like the bubbling with potential guy. It's almost like not being Al Thornton at the start, not freaking, you know, not just like being like he's gonna be an all-star for sure, but just giving us tastes here and there. You know what I mean? Like it kind of added up to like a certain, we can see an even greater potential for him, you know, like it's really hard to feel, you know, because we've seen him in such limited quantities, like it's hard to feel what can Eric Bledsoe do is such a huge question.
If you had to give, we'll wrap this segment up, if you had to give a grade for the past week for the Clippers, A, B, C, D,
B.
You give a B.
I give a B.
You give a B.
Because they made both the losses games, and they had a chance to win both those.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I would give a B minus.
I see. Nice.
Because that Cleveland game...
Definitely. No, not being able to get defensive rebounds, not what good teams do, and turning the ball over a shitload also, not what the good teams do. But the turnover thing, if honestly, it's funny. If the Clippers
due to the Bursa sack.
Yeah, dude, fucking Bursa sack. Dude, no doubt, dude. Fucking A. I gotta fucking,
We need to read up on the Bursa sack.
Yeah, man, we do. We definitely need to. Yeah, the Bursa sack needs to be dealt with. For sure. For sure. I'm definitely gonna, describe. I look forward to describing the next distasteful character I meet as a Bursa Sack.
I was thinking a Bursa Sack sounds like another Star Wars reference, but a Bursa Sack sounds like some warlord on Tatooine who's like fucking with the sand people all the time, like, oh shit, Bursa Sack's coming, you gotta get the fuck out of here, he's just like a total dickhead.
I see, totally. I mean, I feel like it just kind of sounds like a not played out douchebag. You know, like that guy's that guy's a real fucking
Bursack.
It's a real fucking Bursack. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, not perfect, but one guy's getting called a Bursack for sure.
Do you think that's really the problem with Blake so far, or do you think
no? I think Blake has even less. Blake was already having trouble kind of establishing himself as like an offensive weapon, as like a guy who the offense would really go to and a guy who could be looked to and whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's having even more trouble now because the Clippers have more weapons in terms of that. And also in the fourth quarter, like Chris Paul will make a shot, Jamal Crawford will make a shot, and then like when it's Blake's turn to make a shot, it just seems to not come in the flow as much. It seems to be a lot more like deliberate and like give him the ball and he like dribbles it for like 6 or 7 seconds. And then he tries to throw up some like muscled ass shot that just rolls out because that's his fucking fourth quarter rolls.
Yeah,
it's a bummer, but. So I don't think it's the Bursa sack. No, but also Blake has shown everything. He just hasn't shown it for a full game. You know, he's shown the jump shot. He got a little bit leaning forward on the free throws initial, but that's actually I'm sorry to keep jogging, but
that's all right.
But that's actually. I don't like how Blake will make adjustments on the free throw line. They'll prove to be effectual in the beginning, and
yeah,
then
for
they'll
five
lose.
Games.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
they'll lose. Like, and then they'll lose their touch. Basically, they'll lose their yeah.
Yeah.
That happened last year with yep. the free throws and that
with the bouncing.
Yeah, exactly. With the three bounce, exactly.
The bouncing, yeah.
And then this year he's been leaning forward more. And when he first started to lean forward, he was really making them. But then it just kind of lean forward just went back into regular old. So
yeah,
yeah. But still, Blake has shown everything, and Blake's passing, man, freaking
yeah, pretty good,
pretty special.
Yeah,
pretty special. It's when you watch Blake do everything he does, you're just like, wow, how can this guy not just have his hands all over every single game? He
yeah.
kind of does, but just when you see him pass, when you see him take the basket, and see everything, you're just like, wow, this guy can really play the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of, a perfect segue. To our moment of appreciation.
Wonderful. Yeah. I look forward to this moment.
Yes. Also, I hope a lot of people are Google imaging Bursaschak right now.
I hope so too. Yeah. I hope so too. I'm surprised we're not. I'm
gonna I
do
know,
this.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, 5 minutes of my night is a plan. To, for sure. And looking into Bursaschak. It's going to be tight.
There's a lot of hatred on the internet. There's a lot of negativity on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of frumpiness, a lot of anger.
They gon' hate, dude. They gon' hate.
Exactly. So we thought it'd be nice to have a moment of shipping uplifted, positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Our moment of appreciation. We're gonna try to do this every week.
Yeah. No, we're just gonna fucking good vibes.
Good
man.
Vibes.
It's time for good vibes.
Yeah.
It's time to be happy and freaking just
yeah.
see the positivity in things. And and yeah, nothing brings the vibes out quite like Blake Griffin's touch. really and truly.
I feel like that's a line Blake may be using at various nightclubs around the
oh yeah
around LA Live.
Oh yeah, I mean that's
yeah.
a line I'm using, and I'm not even Blake. That's just like that's my icebreaker. Is talking about Blake Griffin's touch, because most people know Blake Griffin, but
softest of touches.
Exactly, they know Blake Griffin. They're happy to talk about him. But then, you know, you get them talking about soft touch in general. That's just, that conversation is going to go in the right direction, I would say. And yeah, but Blake's soft touch, man, the way he throws it up there, just the ball makes love to the rim. That's the best way I can describe it.
So to clarify, because I know there's a lot of non-Clipper fans who would be like, well, from 18 feet,
mm-hmm.
there's no
not
soft touch there.
No, no, there's not.
There's no, no. He basically fires a missile at the...
Mm-hmm. From the free throw line,
yep,
and from yeah, and from these jump shots, there's no soft touch.
No.
However,
when he's in, you know, 3 or 4 feet of the hoop,
maybe like I would say even like a, because like those feet, you'd be surprised. He could even be within 10 feet,
yeah,
11
that's true.
Feet.
If he's heading toward the rim and
yeah,
jumping towards it, yeah,
exactly. Or even honestly, even jumping away, one of his little crazy forays of jumping, spinning, he's
yeah,
just falling
he's
away,
360 helicoptering,
helicoptering blindfold, barely sees the rim out of his peripheral, just throws it up with one hand. That shot, Blake is an incredible bullshit shot maker, and that shot has an incredible amount of touch.
Yeah.
I'll say Blake just throws the ball for how powerfully he's generally attacking the rim,
mm-hmm.
to then separate, to then to have all that power remain in his body, and then leave the ball, let the ball
so
just
soft.
A little bit softly off. Just
so
it's,
soft.
It's beautiful. The ball just dances up there with wolves and angels and all these things I kind of picture up there with it. And it's just like, yeah, and then it just falls down. It just embraces gravity in a way that just, I feel like that ball at that point is able to embrace gravity in a way that, you know, I'm fighting with gravity my whole life, but that ball is joining gravity and just in nature,
yeah.
just in what's right.
He,
so, yeah.
he must lubriderm.
Yeah.
Very frequently.
Very. He sleeps fucking in
I'm
his
hands
sure,
at least.
Yeah.
In a vat of.
I think Blake somehow, like, sleeps in, like, 8 different vats a night, basically. I'm if that
ooh,
makes sense.
Okay,
vats
yeah.
of, you know, I always like to think of Blake in like vats of vitamins, kind of is what like that was.
Okay.
That was by like what Blake was initially rehabbing from that first injury. I was like, I like to picture Blake just spending his time in vats of vitamins.
Like, like he's in the. Have you seen Minority Report?
Yes, exactly.
Like the precogs.
Yes.
In Minority Report, where they're in that like
yes.
that psychic jizz.
Just like that. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Psychic I'm pretty sure that's what Jason Powell does.
Yeah.
He makes some type of elaborate jizz concoction.
Yeah.
He's like, laying this for a while. Dude, I'm a doctor.
Best training staff
in the league, dude. I'm a doctor. Fuck you, Clips Nation.
Oh, dude, absolutely. No, the healing, actually, I don't want to talk any more about jizz vets, but I'm done talking about jizz vets. But yeah, but Blake definitely spends time in vets that promote good health. I will say a lot more time than I do. I don't spend any of my time in vets that promote good health.
I like to spend a lot of time in jizz vets.
Yeah, you know. nice.
Sorry, man.
No, it's cool. Hey, no problem. No problem, man. Yeah, it's okay.
You know what city was named after a jizz vat?
Let me think. Freaking, I don't know whether I should have it. Memphis. Yep.
Native American. It's a Native American word for jizz vat.
Yeah, man. The more you know. Freaking. Can we send rainbows through podcasts?
I'll put that in right there. Right,
nice. Yeah. Awesome. That's good. I like that.
All right. We talked about Blake's. The softest of touches.
The softest touch. Ooh. God dang it. Ooh. Just like touch yourself, but like almost touch yourself. That's how soft that touch is. It's when like the air that comes off your fingers when you're just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's that.
It's like the most extreme foreplay.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I do not want to do.
Yeah. It is.
What should we do next? We could preview the week ahead very briefly.
Yeah.
Or we could have an exclusive interview with Coach Vinny Del Negro, which is...
Ooh.
It's not that surprising that he decided to come on the podcast.
Not at all.
We do have 32 listens and downloads on Podomatic.
Do we?
I think only about 27 are me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I mean, I've definitely downloaded no more than 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 times. So
yep.
I think we're, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And one time for Chosen Galby's legal team.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. That's a good question. I would say a very brief look at the week ahead in terms of,
that
like...
That sounds good.
Very, very brief. Like, it's going to be awesome. Fucking awesome.
That's good enough.
Yeah, right?
I think that's good enough.
It's going to be a great week, guys.
We play the Popoviches.
We play
tonight,
the Popoviches,
and then we play Portland tomorrow.
Oh,
both on national TV.
No problem.
And then we play what used to be the Marvins, but now I guess they're just the Horfords. Atlanta on Sunday. Not an easy 3-game stretch.
Not an easy 3-game stretch at all. A lot of really, yeah. But this is fucking NBA basketball, Doug. You know what I'm saying? Some talented players.
Don't go Jamal Crawford on me during this podcast, man. You don't want to talk about bats of jizz. Talking about how competitive the NBA can't take any night off. Any team can beat you.
Yeah, that's
come
true.
On, man.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm better than that. My bad.
Yeah.
Zaza Pachulia. Looking forward to seeing Zaza Pachulia ball. Always looking forward to see Zaza against DeAndre. That's a great matchup. Zaza, you know, is going to get a couple annoying rebounds on him.
I agree.
Either that, or Zaza is going to be completely ineffective against the Clippers, which will just be great to watch. The Hawks, you know, weird team, but they could have some problems.
Yes.
But, oh, you know what's great? Never mind. The Hawks are going to be great to watch because they're going to force Del Negro's hand on the Bledsoe-Paul backcourt because the Hawks have three... The Hawks, I think, start Jeff Teague, who's a bigger guy, but Jeff Teague and Devin Harris. They start those guys.
They're starting both.
Yeah, and then Lou Williams comes off the bench, and he's kind of... So there's a lot of small guys dominating the ball for Atlanta, kind of. You know what I mean? So... I think Bledsoe will get a lot of time in that game, which is exciting. And then the Popoviches always, I mean, as long as we can separate ourselves, it will just be, I will be amazed, but I'm always amazed. If they are just rape us again this year, like, can that happen? It just seems like every time I say they can't possibly do it this year, I know we all think this, but.
To the end of time.
Somehow they do it.
To the end of time.
Somehow they continue to do it. And who was the last team?
Portland. Lillard.
Yeah, Lillard, but yeah. It's in Portland.
In Portland.
Tough. Tough match, but I really think the Clippers of today. Ooh, Jamal.
Ooh, Crawford. The Jamal homecoming.
Jamal homecoming.
What's the over under on the number of shots that Jamal takes on Thursday?
I don't know. Yeah.
50?
Yeah.
50, he's chucking 50 times?
Wow, yeah.
57?
I'm
70?
Hoping, yeah, I'm hoping
for
50.
Is he taking
50.
Every shot?
I'm hoping for 50. I want Jamal to drop 50 in Portland on every conceivable Portland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I want there to be a switch somehow where Luke Babbitt is guarding Jamal just at the, like, 2 feet inside of that the three-point line in the middle top. And
yeah.
I just want to see that freaking, yeah, that left and right. Yeah. Jay crossover, dog.
What's the record you think we go this week?
I'm going to go for 4-0.
There's three games.
Well, fuck it. I'm going 3-0.
I think we're going to go 1-2.
You think you're going 1-2?
I think we're going 1-2.
Tough.
Dude, Bursasek.
Bursasek, that's true. I may be
underestimating
the Bursasek, that's true. All right, well, I'm sticking 3-0. I think, I mean, hard-fought 3-0, but
yeah.
I like the Clippers in the fourth quarter these days, man. I really think they're going to start to put it together and not turn the ball over.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
It would be nice, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now to, I guess, Coach Del Negro.
Yes, yes. All righty. So, ladies and gentlemen, mostly ladies, I'm sure. We have a very, very special guest. A wonderful, we have a wonderful interview coming up. At least, yeah, I will be doing my best to ask awesome questions.
Hey, yo.
So we have the one, the only Vinny Del Negro in the motherfucking building.
Hey.
And,
play my intro music.
All right. Nice. This is Benny. Anytime Vinny enters the room, he prefers this to
this song played.
Yeah,
yes.
This song just start playing.
It's a gift and a curse. It's a gift and a curse. You can tone it down now. This is like the locker room all over again.
Totally.
I can never speak loud enough over the rap music.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that, Vinny. But you will be happy to hear that thanks to a rapper named Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
I am familiar.
You, of course you are. Mm-hmm. I do like to call you Vinny Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Anything is better than my last name for my profession.
No doubt.
This is literally the worst last name for this profession.
No, that's true. I'd have a tough time thinking of others, and I don't even think that would be a good idea for us to even...
Let us skip on to another topic.
For sure. All right. Let's get down to what Clipper fans really, really want to know. So first and foremost,
please.
what's on everybody's mind,
mm-hmm.
What the fuck is up with Trey Tompkins?
Who?
So there's this guy, he's like...
Is that a hip-hop artist, or...
It is, actually.
Does he play linebacker artist. For us?
He probably could, if you gave him some minutes, for sure. His tackling form, probably all right. But
ooh,
no,
yeah.
he's a very affable man. He's about 6'10". I see. Has a really wonderful shooting touch. I see. Well, yeah. Well, this explains some things. Absolutely. Look down the bench, guy.
I'm not allowed to. No.
I see. You got a tough like neck crank. Yeah.
No, Kenyon Martin said that if I look in his direction, my wife will die. And I don't know if he's on the team anymore or not, but I'm not willing to chance that.
No way. No way. I see. Vinny, you are a smarter man than I realized, dude. Freaking, yeah. There's a lot of talk about. No.
Vinny scored 350 on his SATs.
Dang, man. I mean, the name is fucking complicated, man. Where did you put the Dell with the fucking first name?
There's not enough bubbles.
There's not enough bubbles.
I don't know how Gallinari does it.
No doubt. I hear a problem. I see. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, the second fucking awesome question. Just how good is your mother's cooking?
my mother's cooking... When my mother makes a lasagna, it is like, how do you say, when Caron Butler makes love to her.
Ah.
It is like fireworks in my mouth.
Oh, wonderful.
I invite the team over, and no one comes over ever. Caron is already there.
Of course.
Caron is already there,
I see. Yeah, he eats, exactly.
He eats a lot of Del Negro cooking, if you know what I mean.
No doubt. Good to hear,
Don't make a joke about my name right now.
No. Gladly. I see. Well, good to hear. Wonderful. I hope to one day get an invite to that lovely household.
Sky,
yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Most definitely.
What is a zone?
Well, a zone is like, it's this unique, it's a defensive, I mean, are you familiar with the word strategy?
No.
I see. Well, when you play a game like chess, not chess, but when you play
chess is way too hard.
When you play checkers,
checkers way too hard.
I see. All right, when you play
Connect Four, Connect Three.
Yes, Connect. When you play Connect,
I play Connect Three. I'm good.
No, only
if I go first.
I see. Absolutely.
Only if I go first. Chauncey laughs at me.
I see. Well, yes. Well, if you're able to implement in these types of games, you have a strat. You have like the way you will play that will help you to win.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a tough concept to wrap your mind around, but it's just kind of like, sometimes you might do something differently. If something's not working, you might try something else.
Disagree.
I see, okay.
Disagree.
Absolutely, I'm okay with that. Well, yeah, well, a zone is when you don't. So right now I know you like to put, like, you know, maybe your slowest defender, you know, on the other team's, like, fastest defender, you know, offender or something.
Caron Butler needs to guard the fastest guy on the opposing team.
Absolutely, absolutely. I understand the thinking behind this just because, you know,
he
like...
He sleeps with my mother.
Yes, exactly. I mean, what else is there to do?
Uh-huh.
Totally. No, he respects Mama, I think, right? In this,
No.
I see, okay.
No, there is no respect for any Del Negro.
Purely physical, I see with them. I see. Okay. I see. Well, well, Zone, you might want to think. You might want to ask it.
I will by the way, this is not an accent. I just don't know how to speak English.
I
was raised in the States.
Oh, I picked that up. Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm just not so good with the word. A learning disability.
I see. Okay.
It's sad.
I mean, yes, it is a little bit sad. But you've really done well with it, I gotta say. Really achieved prominence in spite of your shortcomings.
I'd say, you know, Billy King was in the same class.
Yes,
and he's making a lot more money than me. I make about $12.50 an hour.
I see. Nice.
It's a living. Man. It's a living. And my employees have sex with my mother, and it's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I see. Well, no, I mean, I've been to your house in Koreatown. You've made it pretty warm, considering what you're working with. You know, I gotta say,
it's not too bad in the heart of Koreatown.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man,
Joining us, Chachi. Members only suits.
Oh man, absolutely.
Silver and black ties.
Well, Vinny, your fashion is second to none. Absolutely.
That is a source of Del Negro pride. Yeah,
absolutely. As is your hair.
Thank you.
No problem. Yes. No problem. I would be remiss to not mention that.
VO6.
It's the next
evolution of VO.
Oh my. I'll be looking for that.
No, they sold 300 bottles in 1987. I bought all of them.
I see.
So I've just been nursing that supply.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. Well, I am jealous. I will definitely be visiting your house for a shower sometime, man. If you don't mind.
Oh, all the glibbers with my mother, I suppose. All the glibber players come.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will see you there.
You should
man.
See DeAndre Jordan's penis. It is a sight to behold.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hey, lasagna. Sure.
Oh, wonderful. I look forward to it. Okay. Well, once the team, assuming the team will one day be at full strength,
what Okay.
So you're going to have a lot of players, and since...
Ooh.
Since,
How many players? How many players on a team?
You know, gosh, it's like...
It's either 27...
Yeah, it's like...
Or 9.
Yeah, you know, are you familiar with the number 12?
I don't go...
It's like a little more than 10. A little more than 10 players on each team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So since you'll have, I mean, this is a lot of players, a little more than 10, only 5, you've noticed, are on the port at one time.
I used to have 10 fingers, but then I lost them to Kenyon Martin in a game of dice. I didn't completely understand.
Oh, man, no joke. I see.
Del Negro.
I see. So, since you obviously won't be able to give Eric Bledsoe playing time, really, as the season goes on.
Ooh, I am terrified of Bledsoe.
What do you plan on giving him to keep him happy?
Ooh, this is a stumper.
Yes.
A stumper for BDN.
I'm stumped for you. Yes.
Ooh, let's see. He pretty much already has most of my things. My 1987 Datsun. He has that.
I don't
think they kept making Datsuns past like 1984, but that's fine.
Yeah. Members only Datsun.
It's a members only Datsun.
I see. Fantastic.
It has VDN Swish on the license plate.
Oh man! Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Pretty sweet.
I'll look out for you. Very, very sweet. Yeah. No doubt.
What else could I give Bledsoe? He pretty much has everything
And I mean, what could...
I mean, my swagger?
My swagger? Ooh, yes. I mean, you might be able to give him a little bit of swag.
A little BDN swag,
yeah. But I mean, yeah, but what can anyone give Eric Bledsoe, really? You know, what can you give? What do you give to...
Insatiable.
What does the man who has everything give to Eric Bledsoe is what I ask.
Certainly not a sense of where to be on the court. Yeah. That is one thing I could not possibly give Eric Bledsoe. Absolutely. And in no way could I ever harness his talents.
Yes. We don't expect that of you. Don't worry.
Damn.
All right.
I feel comfortable here.
Oh, good.